after he risen. And who is the first one? Come on. Mary Magdalene, the first one to see him. And then we know that he saw two men walking on the road. And then John and Peter went to the tomb. They both went in. John saw and believed, Bible said. Peter still needed a little extra time. Those are the things we talk about. Everybody knows those things. We're going to talk about so much more this morning. Amen. I want you to be excited that you came to church today. Hallelujah. I want you to be excited. There's so much more to know. Who was the one that doubted? Anybody? Come on. Thomas. He meant David. You shouldn't say that about him, David. Where is he, by the way? Downstairs? And David and Thomas doubted, right? Because he wasn't there. He didn't believe his friends. Nobody here would tell a story like that to your friends, would you?
No.
See, you all know that. See, there's more to know, amen? How many want to know more? I got more for you later. Miss Pat couldn't be here today. She sent Tom. Everybody say hi to Tom.
Hi, Tom.
The Pat's legs are still hurting her, and she couldn't be with us, but she brought Tom and she brought more food. So we're going to sing this song for Pat, Tom. You let her know that we sang one for her. Praise it. lift you up this morning. We talked about your loss this week. I wanted to call and talk to you, and I didn't, so I texted you. You made the greatest sacrifice you can do for your pet. The greatest thing you can do for them is to set them free, that he's not in pain anymore, but we know the loss, and we know your sadness. So we pray for you today, amen? Thank you, Lord. We love you, Nancy. She's your elder. If you want to go pray with some of them, she won't let you down.
Sure.
Okay. Also, I want to ask you to do something for me today. I want you to pray for my wife.
Of course.
And I want you to pray extra because she has taken care of everything for me. If I tell you she worries about everything, I'm telling you she worries about everything. And I don't want her to get tired. I don't want her body to get tired. I know her mind gets tired. I know her strength gets tired. I know the truth. And I see it sometimes, and she needs extra strength to keep her safe and healthy and happy because I want her to be just everything she can be, amen? Would you all pray for her? And she's carried me through so much, and we're just beginning that return. And I thank you for all your yesterday.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I
Give him praise this morning before the walls do. Give him praise before the pews do, before the steeple does. We need to praise him, amen?
Amen.
You're going to read today, maybe you missed it. Maybe you missed it during the resurrection. But God's creation praised him, amen? We can't hang around and wait. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Praise God, we're going to go into some real good stuff today. Okay, responsive reading. Marilyn picks Psalm number 8. I'll start. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning?
Oh my God, I cry in my agony. You have entered my bed, and the
But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. To you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed.
But I am a worm and no man, a worm worship
man. Oh, all those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying,
He trusted in the Lord, let him rest in him, let him deliver him as it seems like his life is in him.
Yes, they say that nonsense, don't they? Amen. They don't know the power and the love of the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
They don't know the promises of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But someday they will. Something will happen in their life where they're going to need something besides themselves. Somebody's going to get sick. Something's going to happen. And they got nowhere to turn except up. And you know the beautiful part of our God? He'll answer them. He's not like we are. He doesn't hold a grudge. Because he's compassionate on those who seek him. But you see, the thing is, they have to wait all this time. You don't have to wait anymore. You've been looking for him. You found him. You have him. Now you got to use him. Amen? Use him to be everything in your life. Trust him to be all that you can be in your life. He wants you to have success. He wants you to prosper. It's not wrong. How many know it's not wrong to prosper? But you got to do it his way. His way. And then you get blessed. Hallelujah. Right, Lily? Everybody say hi to Lily.
Hi, Lily.
We love Lily. Because of Lily, Rob's here. No, don't laugh. Because of Lily, Chipper comes to church when he's in Connecticut. Can anybody else say it to me? Thank you, Lord. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Praise
the Lord. Let all the world rejoice this morning. Thank you, Father. According to Paul, what is the root of all evil? According to who?
Paul.
What is the root of all evil? Is it temptation? Is it love of money? Or is it gossip? According to Paul now, what is the root of all evil? How many think it's temptation? Anybody? I got a temptation. How many got love of money? Anybody love of money? How many want to say gossip? How many want to say gossip is the love of root of all evil? It says in 1 Timothy, pursue Christ and not money. Money being the root of all evil. Which of the following animals was Israel forbidden to eat? Which of the following animals? A deer, horses, or hares? Y'all know what a hare is, man.
Yeah.
Easter bunny?
Yeah.
Couldn't be that. Easter, that would be cool. Which of the following animals Israel forbidden to eat? How many think it was deer? How many think it was horses? All right, how many think it was a hare? Not eat them that chewed their cud, not with divided hoofs, not camels, nor hares. On Easter, hares were forbidden. Israelites were forbidden. Did I talk you out of that? You can't let me do that. Amen. The issues of life come from what? Does it come from your soul? Does it come from your heart? Or does it come from your eyes? The issues of life come from what? How many think it's from your soul? Anybody want to say heart? Who wants to say heart? Anybody? How many want to say eyes? Proverbs 4 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How many said heart? No, you all can't raise your hand now, because you all didn't raise your hand before. What was the sluggard instructed to observe to obtain wisdom? A sluggard is somebody lazy, a loafer, idler. What was the sluggard instructed to observe to obtain wisdom? Was he instructed to observe the bees, the grasshopper, or the ants? What was the sluggard instructed to observe to obtain wisdom according to Proverbs 6? How many think it was the bee? Watch the bees. How many think it was grasshoppers? How many want to say ants?
I killed probably the bees.
Industrious nature of the ant. Observe the ants of the industrial nature. So give God praise. You did pretty good.
Satan's world, amen? Say that with me. Satan's world, hallelujah.
It says in Matthew 27, listen to this. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. That's between noon and 3 o'clock. Did you read that before? How many read that before? There was darkness. Where was it? Over all the land. Darkness. In the middle of the day. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, they said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with some sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Anybody ever read that? Yeah. Have you ever looked into that? What's it talking about? He's saying that the graves were opened up and people raised out of the graves. Nobody else mentioned that, amen? He mentioned all that stuff about the veil being torn from top to bottom. What does that mean? That's so much more to know besides Mary Magdalene seeing him for the first time. What could that possibly mean? Now, who wrote that? It's in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew was a Jewish man, amen? He wrote to the Jewish nation. He wrote from the Old Testament. He knew scriptures. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. He knew scriptures. He knew from Exodus, saying, you shall make a veil woven of pure purple and scarlet thread and fine woven linen. It shall be woven with the artistic design of cherubim. You shall hang it upon the four pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold. The hook shall be gold by four sockets of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasp. Then you shall bring the ark of the testimony in here behind the veil. Where, church? The veil shall be a divider for you, brethren, the holy place and the most holy. You shall hang the veil from the clasp. Then you shall bring the ark of the testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. When that veil split in half, top to bottom, what did that mean? It means that there's no division for us anymore. There's no divider. The veil has been split, torn, unrepairable, amen? Because now we have access to the Father. Understand what he's saying now. The veil that was hanging there was a divider. We couldn't go to the Holy of Holies because it was behind the what?
Veil.
That's right. And when the veil was split in half, top to bottom, it opened up for us an avenue to go to the Father. The whole, this is part of the resurrection, amen? Yes. Paul is telling us, Matthew's telling us what happened. This is big stuff. I'm excited. The veil torn, you have access to God. There's no more divider anymore, amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. What about the bodies? Anybody? What about the bodies that Matthew talked about coming out of the grave? Why didn't Mark, Luke, and John? They didn't know. Maybe they didn't see it. Maybe they didn't understand. Amen? But Matthew wrote that. We go to Ezekiel, the Old Testament. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out into the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Full of what?
Bones.
Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very, very dry. Any he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God, there be bones. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. God said, I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, and there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. Who is he prophesying to? Bones. He's talking to dry bones. So I prophesied, he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry and our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people. Ready? I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. How many have read that before? You've seen that before? What does that mean? Exactly what Matthew told us. He raised people out of the graves. Amen? Who raised them out of the graves? Jesus. Amen? The resurrection. So much happened. So many things happened that we miss because we look at who saw Mary first. Mary saw him first. Matthew is telling us that the veil was torn. We have access. Matthew's telling us about the dry bones in Ezekiel and how the graves were opened up. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Old Testament. Matthew said the earth quaked and the rocks were split. They could not keep quiet. His creation responding. Everyone there saw it. For it, they saw it, they felt it, and they feared it. Can you picture that with me? This is so much more than him dying on the cross. This is everything. The earth quaked. Say that with me. Good. The rocks were split. They could not keep quiet. Remember the day when he rode into Jerusalem? He said, if these people stop praising me, the rocks are going to call out. His creation responded to his death on the cross. Everyone there saw it. Everyone felt it, and they feared. Amen? So what did he do? Where did he go? Thank you, Lord. What happened after that? This is so much going on between the cross and Mary Magdalene. Where did he go? What did he do? Ephesians said first he descended into the lower parts. Ephesians says this, now that he ascended, he rose up. What does it mean that also he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens. Paul is telling us that he rose up. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
But before he rose up, he did what?
Descended.
He descended where? To the pits of hell in front of the angels. In front of the fallen angels, I should say. In front of Satan and his domain. In front of those, and in front of those who are waiting to be freed. That's what Matthew talked about. The people that are waiting to be freed. When he went down there, when he descended, he set his captives free. Amen? This is what he was doing. This is your God, your Jesus. Give him praise. Hallelujah. First he descended. So picture that. This is what was going on between the veil and the tomb. He ascended. First he also descended. He went down. And he went down to show himself. Colossians said he has made alive together with him, all of us. It says in Colossians, he wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. How many ever read that? Colossians said he wiped out the handwriting that was against us. The Ten Commandments, the laws, the condemnations, the things we couldn't keep. Jesus went down and wiped them out. Wiped them out for who? For you. Amen?
Amen.
Wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. Thank you, Lord. Wow. The laws, the condemnations, the commandments that we could not keep. And he did something else. Anybody want to tell me what he did? The Bible says in Colossians, he nailed him to the cross. Nailed him to the cross. He took that out. He went down there and wiped out all that stuff for us. And then he nailed it to the cross. What does that mean to me? He did like he's telling the devil, in your face, pal. In your face. I'm going to nail it to the cross. He made a public spectacle out of them, according to Colossians. I love that. He triumphed over them, over Satan, over sin, over every fallen angel, over death. This is what he was doing between the veil and the tomb, amen? Thank you, Lord. In your face. He took what Satan tried to do to him, and he wiped it all out, and he nailed it to the cross. Who's going to see it? Satan. In your face, on the cross. I think I died on the cross. No. There you go. Now you're getting it. They hated Jesus. Satan hated Jesus. They stripped him. They held him to public contempt. They claimed victory over Jesus. Amen. Remember that? Until what? Until he said, it is finished. How many remember Jesus saying that? It is finished. And I said this every year. I said, Satan stopped and turned around. He said, what? What? It is finished. No, you're finished. What? What's that on the cross that you nailed to the cross? You nailed it to the cross that you're going to do that? You're going to wipe out, you're going to victory over death? Jesus strips them of their every power. Jesus holds them in contempt. Publicly, openly, above and beneath, triumphed over them. Hallelujah. Amen. The thing that they thought they did to Jesus, stripping him naked and making a public spectacle out of him, what did Jesus do? The exact same thing to them with victory. After he said, it is finished, he wiped out Satan. He wiped out the fallen angels. He wiped out death. He wiped out every fear that we should have. You're God. Give him praise. Come on. Jesus strips them of their power. Satan has no more power. He holds them in contempt. Publicly, openly, and above and beneath, triumphed over them. And then what? And then he was raised in glory. Conquering death once for all believers. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's you, Deacon Sergio. That's you, Miss Dale. These are your promises. These are the greatest promises anybody could give us. And he did all this for us between the veil and the tomb. He made a show of them openly. I love that. I love that he did it openly. He went down and walked around in all of Satan's domain in front of the fallen angels and said, here I am. What are you going to do to me now? Nothing. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to defeat death. And by the way, all these people with me, I'm taking them with me. I'm opening the grave. I hear people say, well, Jesus was raised from the dead. I said, yep. Well, all the people in the Bible were raised from the dead too. I said, yep, that's pretty true. How many of you know that? Amen? Anne Marie, right? How many remember Lazarus was raised? Remember Lazarus? 4 days in the tomb. No, don't wake him up now. He's not going to smell good. And there was other people. In Luke, there was Jairus' daughter and a widow of Nain's son, Luke. And in Elisha, present the boy back to his mother in 2 Kings. Other people, Jim, were raised from the dead, amen? But what's the difference? People say, well, Jesus was raised, other people were raised. Church, there was one amazing thing different. One absolutely phenomenal thing. One thing that should make you just understand the difference. Anybody want to guess? Jesus was raised up glorified. Those other people, Jim, that were raised up, they were raised up in their bodies just like we have. Their skin, their blood, their bones, everything, you know, they can grow old. They still grew old. Lazarus had dinner with Jesus, but he still grew old and died. Jesus isn't going to die again. He's got a glorified body. He came back with a glorified body. Perfect. Now, not the old flesh, but new and perfect. To a new life, a new world power. Are you ready? Are you ready? We will be raised up with glorified bodies. That's the resurrection. You see, it's not just Mary Magdalene at the tomb. You see, there was a lot going on that we miss. We miss, if you don't read it and understand it, you miss the great parts of it. That veil that was torn means you can go to God by yourself. You don't need any mediator. And those dry bones were just a prophecy from the Old Testament that God would raise them up, those that were dead. People thought they were forgotten, just like the cemeteries. You see those cemeteries. When he comes back, they're going to be raised up. The ground's going to open up, and those that believe will be raised up in a glorified body. Not the same old body that's going to get old again. Perfect. And he sits with them. How many know the story? He sits with them and eats with them. We're going to eat. We're going to drink. We're going to be able to do things with people. It's not just the spirit. We're not going to be Casper. No, you're going to be you. The Bible says, oh, let me read with this. Should I read what the Bible says? Instead of telling you? So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. We're going to be raised a spiritual body. Praise God. That's the resurrection. That's the promise. That's what he did between the cross and between the veil and between the tomb. That's the power of Resurrection Sunday. That's the journey that he took that you had to read and dig a little bit deeper, but the gold is so shiny and so great, so wonderful. First he descended before, and I told that to somebody once. I told that to somebody that's gone to church all their life. She's a Eucharist minister in a church in Woodbury, and I love the woman, my wife does, love the woman. I said, you know that Jesus went down to the pits of hell? She said, what are you talking about? I said, yeah. The Bible says, first, before he ascended, he descended and made a show of them openly. He mocked them. You're God. You wanted to do great things. He mocked them. He went down and made a show of them openly, said on them, that you have no power over me. You have no power over life. I am. I am life. And he took it as to say, in your face, and he did what? He nailed it to the cross. I love that. I love the picture, the visual. Visualize that. It's like taking Satan, lifting him up, and nailing him to the cross. There's your Satan. There's your fallen angels. They have no power over you. Because of what he did on the cross, Satan has no power over you. Because of what he did on the cross, you have access to God. Talk to God. Draw closer to God. I'm telling you, it will change your life. It will make you feel better. It will make you feel stronger. It will give you peace when you don't have peace. It will give you strength that you didn't know you had. But you know, even greater, it'll give you joy. Because this isn't it. As Paul said, this isn't it. This is the life that we have today. But it isn't it. The life that we're going to have tomorrow with the Lord is going to be greater than you can imagine. You can't imagine how beautiful it is because it said it's more than we can ever see. But you're going to have a glorified body. Your body. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. It is sown in corruption. That's us, corruption. But we're going to be raised in incorruption. Our body is sown in dishonor, but we're going to be raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but we're going to be raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and we're going to be raised a spiritual body. There's only one place to get that promise. There's only one place to go for Resurrection Sunday, into the house of the Lord. That's it. Whether you believe or not, and there's a million churches and a million beliefs out in the world, and there's people there today on this Sunday believing what they believe, but there's only one way to what we want is through Jesus. Amen? So Jesus showed us how to face the mocking and the scorn of this world. He showed us to disregard it, not to even care about it, not to regard it at all. Oh, there's a lot of mocking and scorn in the world. Who cares? I don't care about the world, do you? Amen? This is Satan's world. Why should I care? The world's laughing at us. Jesus said, let us laugh at the world. You look at it that way, amen? There's people laughing at us. Like they said, they ran into that boy today for coffee, and they said something about, they said, Happy Resurrection Sunday. They tried to talk to him about God for a minute. And he just said, oh, Easter's about a wrap.
Yeah.
So we laugh at him, amen? Jesus has said, don't argue with them. Don't fight with them. Don't regard it. This is not our world. This is Satan's world. So not to regard it. The world's laughing at us. Let us laugh at the world. The world despises us. Amen? How many know that's true? That Satan's world despises us. Not half as much as we despise the world. The hate in this world, Satan's world. We despise that hate. We love everybody. We want everybody to be accepted. Everybody to be loved. Everybody to find that peace. Find that joy. Amen? Find that God. Find it. Thank you, Lord. One more scripture. You may have heard this before. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Shouldn't even look for it. Because I think you might know it. This day is the greatest day in our lives. If you hold it close to you, if you see it that way. You know, we look at the tomb, like I said before, and we look at John and Peter, but this is about us. What he did on that cross was all about us. All about defeating death and destroying Satan and his realm. This world. God's going to create a new world for us. And when he creates that new world, when he comes back, your body's going to be glorified, Walter. You're going to be more than you can imagine. You're going to have a body perfect. That's not going to grow old. Greg, your shoulders will never hurt you again when that time comes. Your shoulders will never hurt you again. Deacon Sergio, you're going to do great, mighty things. But we have to, you know, amen. And in closing, I'll just say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. John 3:16. Give him praise to you. Matthew wrote to the Jewish nation that they would understand about the dry bones. and about the veil. That's why you got to read it and go back and study and open it up, because it's all for us. It's all for us. He did it for us. Everything that he came for was for us. The time he was here, the miracles he did were just things to show you what could happen, to draw you to him. When he let his disciples and apostles do miracles, it was only to show you what he could do, to draw you to him. But he did all that for us. The greatest gift, everlasting life. We still have to believe in faith, amen? We still prayed in faith. I want to be with my mom and dad again someday. There's only one way, faith in God. But boy, I have that, and I see God in my life more and more every day. When I read the Bible and study the Bible, it comes clearer every day what it means, what the words mean, what the stories mean, and why I should read more and study more, because it gives me more hope than I had the day before. When I did this sermon, as I was reading all that, seeing all that, getting all excited about it, I loved it. The fact that he nailed it to the cross, he made a show of them openly and nailed it to the cross, took away all the things against us. And he did it for us, like in your face for us. He's a pretty cool guy. Thank you. Some of us ever have a friend that did you a favor? They remind you about that again. Remember what I did for you?
Yeah.
Anybody got one of them?
Yeah.
All he asks is that we do this in remembrance of him. Wow. As he started this whole adventure, took the bread, blessed and broke it, said, "This is my body going to be torn for you." You know the story. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me," in Jesus' name. As Brother Ray would say, "Lord, forgive us for our iniquities of this week, anything, Lord. Anything that separated us from you. Anything that we said or done that wasn't from you. Our actions or whatever, Lord. Cleanse us this morning, Father. Show us. Show us where we fell short, Lord, so we can change. So we can fine-tune ourselves, our mind and our heart and our spirit, Lord. Help us to see. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us. Thank you for the veil being torn, that we can come to God. Now we don't need a veil. We don't have to hide. We can go right through to the Holy of Holies, right to the throne room with God. Thank you, Lord." He poured the wine into a cup and said, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. Drink and do this in remembrance of me." In Jesus' precious name. Heal my body, heart. Heal my heart. Heal my side, my back, my leg. Heal my shoulders, Lord. Touch me, Lord. Heal my house. Heal my family. I'm going to call on you, Lord, for everything I can think of, because you're the only place I can go. I trust you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I don't believe in you. I believe you. I believe your word is true, Lord, and the things we learned this morning, if we learned anything at all, was more. We learned more to understand Resurrection Sunday. Not just seeing him after the cross. It's what he did while still on the cross. What he did from the cross to the grave. All that he did. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Paul, for sharing it with us and telling us. Thank you, Matthew, for writing it and sharing and telling us. Thank you for leaving your word behind that we could read and study. To know this Resurrection Sunday is so much. We're going to be raised up with beautiful, glorified bodies. Not like Lazarus was raised up in the old body again. I'm glad he was, but it was still his body. Not for us. Not our promise. A new world and a new body awaits us all. Someday. Because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise, church. God. On this beautiful day of days, our celebration, the greatest day, the Christian day, Resurrection Sunday. You got family coming over, you got family to go see. I know I'm keeping you here by just rattling on, but you got things to do, but you came to church. I ask God to bless you just for coming to church. But we ask God to bless those who gave this morning. Out of everything else you had to do with the food and everything that you buy and the transportation, you still came and you gave to God. So I ask you, Lord, to bless those givers this morning, Lord. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, Lord. Let their testimonies ring out. Let people know that when they do give, whatever they give, you give back. Pressed down, shaken together, Lord, more than they could ever do. Lord, we thank you for who you are, what you are, and how you take care of us and love us. We thank you, Lord, for your Son. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that you gave to us as a seal and guarantee that you are in our life, Lord. We lift this offering up to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the celebration. Let it begin downstairs. Lord, we pray off all the calories, all the salt, all the sugars, everything down there. We make it holy for our body, Lord. We thank you for what you did on that cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You did it once for us, once for all. Our promises are so great. Let us remember them this morning. And let us ask God, that God in heaven, to bless the United States of America. Keep a hedge of protection around us, Lord. Cover us with your glory. Cover us with your hand, Lord. Keep us safe from the enemies around. In Jesus' name. God bless America. Let me hear you all sing today.
God.